Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio brings you the voices of your neighbors, talking about things of mutual interest. Today, our guest on Voices is Maya Swazer and Jamie Voth, both with the Louisiana Department of Children and Family Services, working in St. Tammany Parish. They're part of the child welfare system, and we welcome you today. Maya, Jamie, glad you're here.
Thank you. We're glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Maya, tell us a little bit about DCFS, what it is, and what are you guys involved with?
Well, we have various programs under the umbrella of Department of Children and Family Services, Child Protection Investigations, which investigates allegations of abuse and neglect with children victims under the age of 18. We have the Family Services Program, which works with and provides services to families with the family intact, mm-hmm. with the philosophy that children should remain in the home if they are safe and if basic needs are being met. I work with the foster care program, where we work with families and provide case management in situations where physical and legal custody of children has been removed from parents and where reunification is the primary goal as long as the risk to children is diminished and children are safe. The adoptions programs provides finalization of adoptions and provides a forever home for children if they cannot be safely returned to their birth family. We also have the home development unit, which recruits, maintains, trains, and certifies prospective foster homes to care for children in short-term, long-term, emergency, and respite situations, and provides those forever homes for children who are in need of adoption.
That's great. Jamie, I understand the home development program is a particular interest to you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we recruit and train people from our community who are interested in becoming foster parents, who may be interested in adoption. So we train those people and help them to provide stable homes for our kids.
Well, good. I assume is there monitoring that goes on afterwards? Is that part of your responsibility or...
Yes, that would be a home development role. Once we certify a family, we go out 6 months after that, and then once a year we're in the home. But foster care staff is in the home monthly working with the family with the child.
Great.
But home development's role would really be with the foster parents. Foster care's role would be with the child in the home.
Maya, tell us about this program. Is this a large program? How many kids are involved? What's the numbers look like for St. Tammany Parish?
Right now in St. Tammany Parish, we have 126 children in foster care. Throughout the Covington region, we have 712 children currently in foster care as of today. Covington region consists of Livingston Parish, St. Tammany Parish, Tangipahoa Parish, Washington Parish, the Adoptions Unit, and St. Helena, which is covered by Washington Parish also. So throughout the region, we have 712 children currently in foster care, 126 of those being in St. Tammany Parish alone.
That's a large number of stories,
yes.
Children. And, we can lump all this together and say, foster kids, or we can understand that each one of these is a story.
Each one has a very unique, very different story. They came to tell their story in various different ways, and they've come to us in a variety of ways. Parents who are battling substance abuse addiction, alcohol addiction, children who are living in homes that are not safe or not adequate or don't have caregivers with the mental capacity to care for them on an ongoing basis. So those children come to our attention and need our help, resources, and services. And we need good foster parents who are willing to open up their homes and their hearts and share those stories with those kids.
What is the expectation of the family? Through no fault of their own, the children find themselves in this situation. Your job, your department's job, is to help to be secure, help them to be protected and taken care of. But what is the role of the foster family? What is your expectation of them in all of this? To provide shelter, to provide food, to provide clothing, and all these things is pretty normal. But does it go beyond that?
It goes way beyond that. We're looking for families willing to foster these children until they can be safely returned home. And if they cannot, then to adopt them, to provide support, guidance, nurturance, love, acceptance, to be a role model for the biological parents, a role model for the children. even beyond the age of 18. We have a number of teenagers. We desperately need foster parents who are interested in fostering teenagers who've had it pretty rough, teens preparing to age out, help them fill out job applications, take them to work, go to their football games, go to their graduations. When they do turn 18 and they go off to college or go to the military, send them cards and letters and words of support and encouragement. Be the one to maybe help that foster child who may also be a mother and have a child of her own, maybe taking in both of them so that mom and the child don't have to be separated, and really being a guiding force, because we find that children who age out of foster care tend to fare better when they have good, positive role models and support. And a lot of times that comes in the form of a foster parent who's willing to stay in their lives after they turn 18 and age out and are on their own.
How accepting are the children of the foster family? I assume they must have maybe anger, frustration, disappointment,
sadness.
So what are some of the things that the children deal with, and how do they accept the foster family?
They deal with grief and loss. They're losing their family.
Okay.
And no matter how bad we may think it is, to them, that's home. That's mom, that's dad, that's aunt, that's cousins. So to them, they're dealing with anger and grief and loss. And you can look at the stages of grief and see those children going through that when they're removed from their home. So they need someone willing to stick with them and work with them through these stages, who's not going to give up on them, who's going to stay with them even when they run away from home, even when they have a bad day at school and they bring home bad grades, and celebrate with them when they do well, when they have a good therapy session, when they have a good visit with their parents and their siblings, or they have a good day at school, or they score a touchdown, or make a three-point shot, or do good in the volleyball game. Somebody who's there for them to say, way to go, you did great. No matter what circumstances you're going through in life, you matter, you're important, you're special.
Jamie, you talked about home development, and this is a part of it. How much of what you're saying and doing with the family is taught to the family, the foster family? And how much is just looking for the right people with the right heart and the right mindset?
That's what it is. It's people who feel like they are called to do better and called to serve our children. And when those people reach out to us, then we invite them to training. We just sort of show them the ropes and what it's like to work with the agency. But really, it starts with them calling us saying they want to do more. How can they help our kids? And when they give us a phone call, we invite them to classes. They come to classes. We check out their house to make sure it meets licensing standards. And then we just walk them through the steps.
So it's not so much training them as parents as it is finding the people who have the giftings in the heart and taking those people and just giving them a framework to work within.
That's exactly right.
If that's the case, then I think we're probably interested in finding more families that might be able to fill the role. Where do you get these foster families from? Do you wait for them to call you? Do you reach out to people? Where do they come from?
Well, they come from the communities. We like to go to churches and tell churches that there's this need. We go to community events where people will be with their families already, and we'll pass out flyers and we tell them, hey, there's a need. But really, it's just being heard and getting our voice out there that we need families. And we do that however we can manage whenever we have the opportunity. So we're super grateful that we have this opportunity to be on the radio.
Well, that's great. Well, we hope lots of people will hear it and be encouraged to jump in the program. When a family calls you and says, hey, this is something that we would like to think about doing, what kind of a commitment are they making? What kind of a time commitment? I understand the time commitment with the child, but is it for a month, 3 months, or how long do they expect that this particular child will be in their home?
Well, if a family contacts us and if they come to trainings and they are certified and a child is in their home, it could be an emergency placement. It could be overnight. It could also be like a week-long placement. Maybe they will agree to foster a child until a relative can be found. And so that would be a short-term placement. But then maybe they would make the commitment that if no relatives are located and if the child can't go back home, then it could be the lifelong commitment to foster and adopt. But we have the need for all. We have the need for emergency homes, which are 2 to 3 days. We also have the need for respite homes, just very short term. And then we have the need for foster and adoptive homes. And that's the long-term commitment that we're looking for.
What kind of facilities would a family have to have? Do they have to have first of all, can they have other kids? Do they have their own kids? How many can stay? Do they have to have their own room? What are some of the facility requirements that you might have?
Well, there has to be a bedroom available for a child. The child can share a bedroom, but they have to have their own bed.
Maya, let's go back to you and talk about beyond this program. We can provide shelter, we can provide love, we can provide training to families, we can help families to know what the child needs. But children continue to grow, they continue to change, they continue to develop. And sooner or later, there comes a day when it's no longer just the matter of going to football games and cheering them on, but they begin the process of transition. Sometime they're going to enter society, they will no longer be a foster child. They will be a productive citizen of the community. What provisions or what steps are out there that help these kids to make the transition from foster home to a contributing member of society?
We start the transitioning process at age 14, and it is difficult for them to process at that age, but we want them to understand what it entails to go from being a foster child to being an adult. So we offer services throughout that time period of where would you like to go? Are you on the college track? Where are you in school? Do you have the credits needed to graduate? Is the GED program a better option for you? What colleges would you like to attend? Whether the case manager or the foster parent takes them on a tour of colleges in the area or in the state, helping them fill out financial aid forms, taking them to get a state-issued ID, helping provide for driver's education classes for them, and helping them prepare and be ready for that day when they're on their own, but still giving them that guidance and support to fall back on, where we tell them, hey, even when you turn 18, you can always call us. Having that good foster parent there, or that relative or that family friend, that teacher, that coach, who they can say, hey, I need a place to have a holiday meal. Can you take me to this job interview? Can I come over and wash clothes? Or send them that text message of encouragement. So we do need a lot of resources as they prepare to age out. They're going to need things like how to fill out an apartment application, what apartments are available for them to rent to 18-year-olds who are fresh out on their own with no credit history, who will maybe sell them a car once they get their driver's license. Where can they go to work part-time? Who's going to hire them? And who's going to help them while they're in college and helping them move in the dorm, helping them with furniture for their apartments, linens, kitchen items, things of that nature. So it was really rough as some of our kids aged out. Where are they going to go? Not only where are they going to go, how are they going to get there? And once they get there, what are we going to do for them? How are we going to help them and assist them? So we had a lot of community resources that we've partnered with over the years who helped our kids as they transitioned, because once they're 18, they're no longer in state's custody and they are adults.
I guess I'm concerned about making that transition. There's the deposit on an apartment. They can fill out the application, good job, but they got to make a 2 or 3 month deposit. They have to come up with the first month's rent. They have to go to get the utilities turned on. I mean, this can be a $2,000 or $3,000 upfront cost just to begin life, just to get these things started. How do they work that out?
Well, a lot of them, we have assisted them with planning, getting a job, opening a savings account, budgeting, putting forth money. They do receive an allowance while they're in foster care. We encourage them to open that savings account and save that money. They are able to become employed. And while we're working with them, the case manager and the foster parent or the relative placement is working with them on budgeting, money management, how to save, how to manage money for the future, helping them fill out those student loan applications if necessary, helping them to prepare. Preparation is the best thing we can offer them, but we do have community resources and agencies who take donations to help with, okay, I have a child who's moving out who needs a deposit paid. This is X amount of money we can give. I have a teen aging out who has a deposit paid, but they need furniture. Anyone willing to donate furniture? We have a child, okay, they've got furniture, but they need linens, they need towels. So we have those donations, or we have those persons in the community who are willing to say, here's a $50 gift card to a store, give this to this child. So we do a lot of it with the help of the community and those resources that we tap into, churches, other organizations and groups that are within the area that have stepped forward to help our kids as they go through this process and begin their lives.
Well, it sounds like a real interesting and necessary partnership between government doing what government does, individuals doing what individuals would like to do, as well as organizations, churches and other organizations who would partner. So it sounds like you're juggling a lot of different motivations and things like that between home development, between people being involved. If the churches didn't step up to the plate, you'd be in serious trouble.
Absolutely.
If individuals didn't step up to the plate, you'd be in trouble. You'd
Absolutely.
Be having a bunch of kids to deal with and nowhere to go.
We have to open up a lot of doors, knock on a lot of doors, and everyone we know is not able to be a foster parent, long-term or short-term. But there are so many people who have other gifts that they can offer these children, whether it's they have a business and they're willing to hire them. They're willing to maybe waive an application fee for a deposit or an application
Right.
fee for an apartment, or just willing to donate or donate their time to say, I have a moving truck, I'll help these kids move.
Awesome.
I have excess in my home, I can donate to different organizations or donate to DCFS for these children as they age out.
Well, if people are listening to the conversation today and saying, this is something I can do. I can do this. I want to be a part of that team. How do they get in touch with you, Maya?
They can contact us at the St. Tammany Parish DCFS office at 985-893-6225. If they're interested in becoming a foster parent, they can ask for the home development intake worker and begin the process with just one phone call.
Jamie, you want to tell us what they should expect when they call? What are you going to ask them? Hey, I want to be a foster parent. What do I need to do? And Jamie's going to say,
we're going to say, let me get your name and number. We're going to get your basic information. And we will invite you to our orientation and classes so that you can learn more about our program, so that you can make sure that this is what you want to do. And we will make sure that you're in touch with the right person to get going.
I like that, because it's really important. If the person's not seriously committed and doesn't understand what they're doing, this is not going to work for anybody.
Right. And we don't want to invite you to classes if you don't want to foster. If you want to donate, then I want to get you in touch with the right person to what it is that you want to donate. I want to make sure you're in touch with the right person. I don't want to send you to class if you're not interested in fostering.
This has been excellent. You ladies have really presented your case well, and I'm really excited about to hear the things that you're doing. And I commend you for the work that you're doing. It really is making a difference with, as we said earlier, kids that really didn't have a choice. They didn't choose to be in this position, kind of picking up the ball and running with it, and you're doing just an outstanding thing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners today that you think would help us to help you to help us?
We're just grateful for the opportunity to be here and spread our message and let everyone know what the department is about, the services that we offer, and anyone that's interested in becoming a foster parent, an adoptive parent, or helping our children in need and our families in need, please, we're more than happy to take any assistance, any encouragement that they're willing to offer. We're very proud of what we do. We're a great agency. We love our community and our families, and we're just thankful for all the resources and for this opportunity as well, and we're just thankful.
Maya, will you give us that phone number again, just in case somebody needs to write it down?
Absolutely. Louisiana Department of Children and Family Services, St. Tammany Parish, 985-893-6225.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your time. You've done an excellent interview, and we're excited, so we say thank you. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices Today. We'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. You can text us, you can call, leave a comment. And if you have particular comments or even questions about today's programming, call us at that number and we'll get you to the right person. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can like us, where you can leave a comment as well, and keep up with what's going on in our programming. If you'd like to support us, you can Check our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-free donation. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Thank you for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We're here every day at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.